for him to be the priority of our lives and for his presence to be the strongest dynamic in our lives and for his favor to be upon us each and every day of 2019. Does that sound good? How many would like some of that, right? So we all have things in our lives that we're believing God to do. We have needs, miracles that we're asking him to perform. Maybe you have some prodigal children in your home. Prodigal adult children in your home. Maybe you need a financial breakthrough in your business. Maybe you need a physical miracle, a healing in your body. Maybe the salvation of a family member or a coworker. But more importantly, something that we all need and we all should be focused on with 21 days of hunger is more of him. Now, I know we all have things we're asking God to do, and that's fine, and we're going to focus on those things throughout 21 days. But the most important need that we all have is to know more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Amen? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for his righteousness, and they shall be filled. Right? Amen? So we're hungry for his presence, for his goodness, for his righteousness to be revealed in our lives. And we believe here in our church that God does answer prayer. How many have seen that to be true? That God answers prayers? Yes? And how many have seen that incredible things have happened in your life as a direct result of 21 days of hunger, of taking this 3 weeks in the beginning of the year? Amen? Come on, lift your hand up high. Testify right now. Amen? God hears our prayers, and we have seen and we've had testimonies come in of incredible, miraculous turnarounds that only God could do in people's lives, right? We believe that God answers prayer, and we believe that fasting intensifies the impact of our prayers on heaven. I'm going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. And so for the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow, I'm calling the Mission Church to join together in a corporate expression of our hunger for God, a corporate expression of our faith and our desire for more of God in our lives, but for God to intervene in our lives, in those areas of need which we have. Now, the type of fast that you choose is up to you. We're encouraging everyone to do what's called a partial fast, otherwise known as a Daniel fast, where basically you're only eating fruits and vegetables for the period of 21 days. You can kind of change that a little bit if you want to do abstain from food, breakfast and lunch, and then only eat a vegetable-type meal at dinner or a regular meal at dinner. I know people who fast during the daylight hours from sun up to sundown. So they try to sleep till noon and go to. We're leaving that up to you, okay? Because some people aren't used to fasting, but we really want to encourage you to participate in some way, even if it's just one meal a day, okay? To participate in some way. Now, you might have some dietary challenges, and if you do, we encourage you to check with your physician first. Maybe you can't fast. And we understand that too. So maybe all you can do is maybe fast something like television or social media. For some of you, that would really be a sacrifice. I know, because you know I see you on there. Or Netflix or whatever. Okay, but to some way participate in this fast. Okay, now whatever fast you choose to be involved in over the next 21 days. Remember, the key to fasting is prayer. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Okay, fasting without prayer is nothing more than dieting. Okay, and we're not calling this 21 days of dieting. Okay, 21 days of prayer and fasting. This is not a 21-day lose the holiday fat diet. This is 21 days of fasting and prayer. Okay. Now, a perk may be that you get to cleanse your system a little bit. A perk may be that perhaps you learn some new habits, because it takes about 21 days to actually learn new habits, right? It may be an opportunity for you to learn some better healthy eating patterns, and that's great, okay? That's great. That's a byproduct. Everybody say a byproduct. But it's not the main product, okay? The main emphasis is fasting with prayer. So every day, whatever you're fasting, take that time that you would have dedicated towards that activity, whether it's eating or TV or whatever it is, internet, and devote it to the Lord in prayer. Amen? Does that make sense? Now, we're also inviting everyone to join us here on Wednesday nights at our encounter service from 7 to 8:15. We're going to be having a time where we're going to be praying specifically for some needs and some specific areas of prayer. But we ask you to try and be here next couple of Wednesday nights, especially during these 21 days, for corporate prayer and praise. Also, to help you stay engaged over the next 3 weeks, our pastoral team will be posting video devotionals every day of the 21 days of hunger. Now, if you're fasting social media, you're going to miss those, okay? And because we're posting them by way of Facebook, and we're going to try and get them also up to Instagram as well, okay? And the theme for the devotionals is Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Come on, everybody say it. Lord, help me. We all need God's help, right? Amen. Amen. That's what fasting really is. It's to say, Lord, I'm weak and I need your help. And so each day there's going to be a different emphasis, like, Lord, help me to humble myself daily. Lord, help me to consistently feed on your word. Lord, help me to forgive people quickly. Lord, help me to resist temptations that distract me, right? And so these are going to be posted on the Mission Church Facebook page or Instagram, and you can find us there at AG Mission Church on either of those platforms, all right? Also, you've noticed our prayer boards over here to my right and left, and you've seen there's been a number of people that have written their prayer requests there. We really want to encourage you to do that. Because what it does is, number one, it gives you a moment of focus where you really think about, what am I believing God for over the next 21 days? Now, there may be several things, but what is there one very important, paramount thing that you're believing God for? Perhaps it's the salvation of a loved one. Perhaps it's a financial breakthrough. Perhaps it's a healing in your body or someone else's body, right? And to write that down on the prayer board, it helps you have that focus. And also, we as a pastoral team will be praying for these as well. And on Wednesday nights, we'll also be praying for these things. So if you want others to stand with you in prayer for that specific need, make sure you write it down. There's some markers up here. You can come right up here after service today, and you can write your need there. We don't need 300-word compositions, okay? Just a sentence is fine, all right? A sentence is all you need to put up there, or a couple sentences is fine, all right? But we encourage you to do that. Amen. Scripture says you have not because? You have not because? 21 days of hunger is 21 days of asking and seeking and knocking and believing God to hear our prayers and to do something awesome this year. Amen? So I encourage everyone, let's do it. Let's do it, Mission Church. Don't miss this opportunity. Let's do it. Right? Let's, in some way, in some level, join this fast and see what God will do this year. Amen. Now, with that as our backdrop, that segue into our 21 days of hunger, I want to talk to you today from the subject, when you fast. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. We're going to start there, and then I'll be referring back to Matthew chapter 6. But Exodus chapter 17, I want to use this kind of as a springboard for the points that I want to make today. And I'm going to be moving through some material pretty quickly here. And I'm not even sure if I'm going to get through everything, but I encourage you, if you have a pen or a pencil, take out a piece of paper, jot some things down. This will help to orient you as you're going through the fast in the next couple of weeks and what fasting is all about, okay? So Exodus chapter 17, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Where did they go? Where did they go? To the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses, and where is Moses? He's on the top of the hill. And who's with him? Aaron and Hur. Who's with him? Aaron and Hur. Okay, we're challenging your reading comprehension here a little bit, okay? Moses and Aaron and Hur are on the top of the hill. They're looking out over the valley where Joshua has led the armies of Israel to engage in battle against the Amalekites. Okay? And so it was, verse 11, when Moses held up his hand, what did Moses do? Held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek, or the Amalekites, prevailed. Verse 12, but Moses' hands became heavy. They became heavy, which means that he became fatigued and he couldn't hold his hands up. How many know, have ever experienced that, right? Were you ever in service and they said, grab the hand of the person next to you and lift your hands up in the air? How many know, right? And 5 minutes goes by and you're like, man, my hands are getting pretty heavy right about, right? So Moses' hands started to get heavy. And so what they did is they took a stone, they put it under him, and he sat on the stone. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua and the armies of Israelite defeated the Amalekites and Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, here's what I want us to notice. Notice what happened when Moses prayed. When he lifted his arms, Israel prevailed in the battle. When he let his arms down, when he put his arms down, the enemy prevailed in the battle. Very clear, right? The point is this. His prayer made a difference in the warfare. How many see that? You see that? Moses' prayer made a difference in the warfare, and his bodily posture in prayer made a difference in the prayer. How many get that? Moses' prayer made a difference in the warfare, but the posture of his body made a difference in his prayer. It wasn't enough that he just sat there with his hands on his lap praying. The posture of his body made a difference in prayer. Now in Mark chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but the story is told of a father who brought his son possessed by a demon to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, I brought my son to your disciples. They prayed for him, but they couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus said in verse 29, he said, this demon only comes out by prayer and fasting. Jesus was saying that the body's posture in prayer makes a difference. How many understand what I'm saying now? Making the connection between Moses on that mountaintop and us on our mountaintops fighting our battles, okay? In this case, with this man with the demonized son, fasting, or more specifically, the fact that there was no fasting, that the posture of the body had not been engaged in prayer, okay? It had the same effect as if Moses' hands were not lifted up on that mountaintop. Did you get that? Okay? The posture of our body makes a difference in prayer. Now, I'm not talking about laying down or lifting hands, or I'm not talking about that kind of a posture. We're talking today about 21 days of hunger and how we're positioning our physique, our physical bodies, our bodily posture in prayer over the next 21 days. Are you following with me? Yes? Amen? Okay. This is why in Matthew chapter 6, now you can go to Matthew 6, Jesus, when he was talking about prayer, he said, when you fast... That's the subject we're talking about today. When, everybody say, when you, say it again, when you fast, okay? Verse 16, he basically said, when you fast, don't walk around with a sad face. I'm so hungry. Oh, I feel like I could faint. You need to leave me alone today because I'm fasting, you know. He's saying, don't do that. Okay, verse 17, he says, but when you fast, everybody say, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. A couple of things here to point out from Jesus' words. First of all, Jesus said when you fast, not if you fast. Did you pick that up? Okay, he said, when you fast. Okay? In other words, fasting should be a regular, consistent part of our devotional lives, just like prayer. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, every other week we should do 21 days of hunger, but somehow in our lifestyle, fasting should be a consistent part of our prayer life. Secondly, Jesus is saying, when you fast, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. When you fast, do not appear super spiritual to men. Do it with the proper attitudes and motives. Don't do it to look spiritual. And for us today, don't do it to lose weight. Amen? Don't do it to try to prove to God how spiritual you are, how holy you are. There is a right way and a wrong way for fasting. So, what is the proper motive for fasting? What's the proper motive for fasting? Okay, we're going to orient ourselves properly today. A couple of biblical points. Let me give you these. Jot these down. Number one, fasting demonstrates the priority of God. Fasting demonstrates the priority of God in our lives. Okay, so fasting is a time to bring under control the normal natural desires, the craving of our body, right? Those cravings, which are normal, and to give that time to God in prayer. And we're saying to God that these natural, normal cravings that I have for food, hunger, whatever it is, okay, these needs that I have, Lord, are not as important to me as seeking you and communing with you and asking you to work in my life. That these needs, that I fulfilling these needs are not as important to me as your presence in my life. That connecting with God is more important, more vital to me than my necessary food. That's what Job said in Job 23, verse 12. He said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, we should pursue the things in this life that we want. We should go hard after the things in life that we desire. Absolutely. But God says that we should seek him first. And when we seek him first, everything else in our life will fall into place. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay? Now, this truth is especially significant at the beginning of the year when we are declaring, Lord, as we enter into a new season, a new year, right? New beginnings, a fresh start. Can you say a fresh start? Right? A clean slate. God, I recognize how essential your blessing, your favor is in my life. Okay? Fasting demonstrates the priority of God. It's a humbling of ourselves before God, which is the second motive for fasting. Fasting is an act of humility. Write that down. Number two, fasting is an act of humility. Understand, fasting does not prove to God how holy you are and how worthy you are of his blessing, okay? Some people approach fasting with the idea that they're going to earn some blessings from God. They're going to show God that if they work hard enough and they're spiritual enough, that God's going to bless them. There's no way that any of us could ever make ourselves worthy of God's blessings. How many understand that? The kingdom of God is not a meritocracy. We do not earn God's favor. Why? Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, all of our righteousnesses, all of our good works are as filthy rags before the Lord. So anything that we could do that we think is good compared to his majesty and his holiness, it's like filthy rags, right? Fasting is not something we do to show our strength. It's something we do to show our weakness. It's something we do to show how dependent we are on God, how we need him, how we can do nothing without him. And we know that as we humble ourselves before God, humility draws the blessing of God. James 4, 6 says, God gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. I don't know about you, but I need more grace. I need more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. Okay, if you're one of those, say, well, I don't need to do this. I don't need to participate. I don't need to pray and fast and do all that stuff. I'm good. I got things under control. You know what? The word of God says he resists the proud. If you're self-sufficient and you can do it in your own strength, let me create a little distance between you and me, okay? And God gives grace to the humble. Chapter 4, verse 10, James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, right? So fasting says that I believe as I enter into this new year, as I humble myself, he's going to give me more grace, and he's going to lift me up. Amen? Right? It's a statement of faith, which brings me to the third motive. Everybody say number three. Number three, write this down. Fasting is a statement of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Right? When we fast, we're expressing our faith. Now look at fasting in the natural. Dieting. Let's not call it fast. Let's look at dieting. How many love dieting? Nobody loves dieting, right? But most of us, if not all of us, at some time or another, we've changed our diet. I don't like the term dieting. I like the term lifestyle, healthy lifestyle. That's the term that I like, right? But some of us, we've had to change our eating, right? And what motivates someone to not eat those good tasting foods? You know what I'm talking about, right? The ice cream, the cookies, the donuts, the fried chicken, the mashed potatoes, right? Go on, get it in. This is your last day, all right? Tomorrow, okay? What motivates someone to not eat and indulge in all those things? It is the belief. It's the hope. What is hope? Hope is the expectation of good. It is the belief, it is the hope that by not partaking in those fatty, sugary foods, that they will lose weight and they will look better and they will be healthier, right? It is the faith you have in the outcome of not eating is what compels you to stop the eating. How many are with me, right? So dieting is an act of faith. Okay? Not faith in God, but faith in human body. Okay? It's a similar dynamic in the spiritual. Scripture tells us something happens when we fast. It moves the hand of God. Moses fasted and God delivered Israel. Hezekiah fasted and God defeated his enemies. Daniel fasted and God ended the Jews' captivity in Babylon. Isaiah said that if you fast, Isaiah 58:6, that I will loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. So by fasting, we demonstrate our faith to God. We're demonstrating our faith that if we will ask, if we will seek, if we will find, if we knock, it shall be open to us. We're saying to God, we are so confident that you are going to do what we're asking you to do, that we are willing to abstain from food to demonstrate our confidence in your provision. Fasting is an act of faith, right? Fasting is an act of faith. But what is it about fasting that moves the hand of God and causes God to act? Brings me to the next one. Number four, fasting makes our prayers fervent. Fervent, which is important because James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, that scripture is referring to an account in Old Testament history when the nation of Israel was in a horribly severe three-year drought. And Elijah was the predominant prophet at the time. And he prayed fervently that it would rain. And as he prayed, the drought was broken. Now, the point here is there is such thing as effective, fervent prayer that prevails. And that's the point that James is making. And he's connecting this to Elijah. Now, the interesting thing about Elijah is his ministry existed in a time of severe famine. Now, I'm not saying that he proclaimed a fast because the scriptural record doesn't indicate that. What I will say is that during a famine, how many understand that fasting is a way of life? Deprivation, right? And most of his praying was in the context of being hungry. Look also at Daniel. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, it said that he fasted for 21 days. And in Daniel chapter 9, it says that while he was doing that fast, he was speaking, he was praying, he was confessing, he was presenting his supplications. Then in chapter 10, it says that he was trembling, he was shaking, he was mourning, he was crying, that at one point he was even unconscious, he was slain in the spirit, right? So this is that fervency in prayer, not the emotion, not the passion, but it was all done for Daniel. All of this happened in the context of fasting. Fasting makes our prayers fervent. How does it make our prayer fervent? Just a couple more points here and I'm done, real quick. Fasting expresses wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Did you see that? Turn to me with all your heart. Everybody say it. All your heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Then you will call to me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, right? See, here's the thing. Sometimes we can become cavalier. We can become lukewarm toward prayer, our approach toward prayer. Sometimes prayer can be for us like going through the motions, just kind of being religious about it. Our heart's not really in it. We're not really serious about it. We're not really sincere, right? We're just kind of going through the motions. And when we fast, what we're doing is we are focusing our entire being on that process of prayer. It's a demonstration of wholeheartedness that my complete being, my whole body is focused in this act of asking and seeking and knocking. It is a wholehearted expression that my entire being is engaged in seeking after God. It's diligence, which brings me to the next point. Fasting demonstrates diligence. Everybody say diligence. Diligence. Say this with me. Fasting demonstrates diligence. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Hebrews 11:6. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligence. Who diligently seek him. Diligence prevails in prayer. Fasting is an expression of our seriousness and our diligence in pursuing God, that we are not just lazily or haphazardly or indifferently seeking God. It is a show of earnestness, of sincerity, of persistence, that whatever it takes, I am going to be consistent in my pursuit of God. It's hard work. How many know fasting is hard work, right? That's what you look diligence up. It means to move quickly and do your best. Move quickly, do your best, right? And the Bible says that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. That move quickly and do their best. Fasting is a demonstration of that diligence, that I am wholeheartedly focused in my pursuit of God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We serve a God of response. Hallelujah. And what we're showing God in fasting is that we are diligently drawing near to God, that whatever it takes, that whatever I must do, right? Let my fasting be an expression of how hungry and how serious I am in connecting with God, in hearing from God, and having God hear from me. Amen. And finally, everybody say finally. Oh, you were really strong on that one. Finally, fasting practices persistence. Persistence. In Luke 18, Jesus told the story of the widow and the judge. And the woman, this widow came to this judge every day so that she could get justice for something that happened to her. But he wouldn't give it to her. He wouldn't do it for her. So she kept coming day after day after day after day. And finally the judge said, I'm going to give this woman. Now Jesus is telling this story. And Jesus said, finally the judge said, I'm going to give this woman what she wants. Not because I agree with what she's saying, but because of her persistence. Can you say persistence? Because of her persistence. Now, why did Jesus tell this parable? Luke 18, verse 1 says this. He spoke that parable to them because men ought always to pray and faint not. Do not lose heart. Do not give up. And he went on to say in verses 7 and 8, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And my answer to that question is, yes, Lord, right here in the Mission Church. Amen? Amen? Because we take the Word of God seriously. We believe that God answers prayer. We believe that fasting intensifies prayer. We believe that the posture of the body has an impact on heaven. Amen? Fasting puts us into a continual state of asking, seeking, and knocking. It's not like that prayer we pray and then we get up, we walk away, and we forget it. No, fasting keeps you in a continual state of prayer, or at least the awareness that we are in prayer, right? How many know that when you're fasting, it goes with you everywhere? Yeah, have you noticed that? That little hunger, it goes with you everywhere. You're always constantly reminded that you're hungry. And whenever I feel that, wherever I am, when I feel that little hunger, that little twinge in my belly, you know what I say? I say, Lord, I offer this to you. Lord, I give this to you. Lord, take this, Lord, as an act of worship, Lord. Right? As soon as you feel that, amen? Let that be a trigger. Let that hunger be a trigger, right? When the enemy puts that donut, when you're driving down the road and you see that purple and orange sign, you know the one I'm talking about. Right? And you start to get that little temptation, a little hunger, that little twinge there in your belly. You say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I give this to you right now. Lord, remember the cry of my heart. Lord, save my children. Lord, heal my body. Lord, turn my finances around. Lord, right? Fasting puts us in a continual state of persistent prayer. Amen? Which brings us back, as I close, to the image of Moses on the mountain. Moses on the mountain, looking over the battle with the Amalekites. As long as his body remained in a posture, a position of prayer, the enemy was defeated. As long as he persisted and showed his faith physically, Joshua and Israel prevailed. He had the victory. Now the next 21 days, we're going to keep our hands up in prayer. Amen? Not literally, figuratively. The fasting in our life is going to be those hands of Moses up in prayer, right? And we're doing it together in the church as a family. And that's good because sometimes we need Aaron and her around us, amen? We need to know that we're not the only ones, that there are others around us that are also in this fast, that are also seeking God. So again, I want to encourage you to be here on Wednesday nights. I want to encourage you to check out the devotions every morning. I want to encourage you also to join us on January 27th, we're going to get ready for that. Hallelujah. That's the last day of the fast. How many are excited for that? Right? It hasn't even started and you're already excited for the last day. January 27th is our annual celebration of praise. And this year is going to be incredible. We already have our guest speaker lined up, Pastor David Mazzella. He's a presbyter from the Capital Section up in Albany. He's going to be down here, and a young, powerful preacher. He's going to just bring a word from God, and Freddie's going to be here too, right? Freddie Washington will be here. Also, it's going to be an incredible night. So listen, it's going to be the culmination of 21 days of lifting our hands like Moses in prayer. Right? Of carrying consistently that persistent faith that we're reminded of every time we feel a hunger pain and we say, thank you, Lord, I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to close with prayer. And as we close, I'm going to invite you, if you have not yet written your prayer request up here on the board, okay? I'm going to ask you to do that before you leave. Just make your way up here. Write your request down. Maybe just bow here at the altar. Pray, kneel here at the altar and just present that to the Lord. Amen? It starts tomorrow, but let's get our hearts ready today, right now. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, as a church body, we enter in, Lord, beginning tomorrow. We enter in, Lord, a season of prayer and fasting. 21 days, Lord. 21 days, just like Daniel did. 21 days, Lord God, where we're gonna be seated there with our hands up. Let the hunger, Lord, in our lives, Lord. Let the abstinence from that thing, Lord. Let that be, Lord, our hands lifted up before you. And that our hands will remain lifted up for 21 days, Lord God. And that, Lord, you're going to see our faith, our tenacity, our persistence, Lord. You're going to see our diligence, our wholeheartedness, Lord. We believe, God, great things are going to happen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just commit the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow, to you. And we ask you to hear our prayers each and every day, Wednesday nights on the 27th when we gather. And we believe, Lord, great things are going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.